preaching to the choir, that doesn't just mean this. The choir that's not even there right now. You're all out there, many of you. Preaching to the choir is that expression of, you know, preaching to the people who already have heard it before, who already know what I'm saying, what the preacher is saying. And I'm doing a bit of that today, because let's face it, on a Sunday when we have kind of a little bit lower than usual attendance for the summer, those of you that are here have already heard this before. You already know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. This phrase, collective effervescence, is a new one for me, and I imagine it's new for most of us. It's this interesting idea. It's not just about getting together. It's not just connection. It's not simply gathering, but it's experiencing something together. Effervescence, joy, excitement, love, and many other things. Christianity has always been, as it is today, primarily a community-oriented faith. It's not simply something that we practice as individuals. Think about the people that Jesus called to be his disciples at the very beginning of his ministry. They started out as a ragtag, varied group with multiple backgrounds. Andrew, Peter, James, and John were fishermen. We know that. But that group, they weren't all fishers. That was one group. But the others came from different backgrounds again. Matthew was a tax collector. Not a popular job. Then or now. Simon was a zealot. He was a political activist, an activist for the faith, but with a political bent on independence, freedom from tyranny. And Judas, we're told, was a thief. Well, he was also the treasurer, so he had something to do with finance, but his honesty was in question. We don't know the professions of the other 12 disciples that are named, but we know that there was a mix, and they were mostly Jews, but there was at least one Gentile, maybe others. They were married or single, and many women were disciples too. Not always named, but some of them named. There are a variety of people who received the same calling from Jesus. Come, follow me. And together, they became disciples. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes in chapter 3, in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ. Paul wrote these words in a society that was very class-conscious, gender-divided, ethnically segregated, and a highly polarized society. This was a radical statement in his time, that all of us, no matter who we are, where we come from, how we identify, are one. Translating this into our time, we might say that in the body of Christ, there is no longer liberal or conservative, no longer male or female or trans or non-binary, no longer, now here's the most radical one of all, no longer American and Canadian and Mexican or others, no longer gay, straight, or anyone else primarily categorized by their race or gender or orientation, but rather all are united in one by Jesus Christ, by the one who brings us together and is himself the one tearing down the dividing wall. He is our peace and unity. We cannot be human without connection. We know that. That's why I called you the choir. You know that. God made us to be together. And we bring that connection to life here every Sunday morning and throughout the week in other ways. When we sing to Yahweh a new song, as Ian read for us, and sing praise in the assembly of the faithful, well, today that's us. That ancient poet certainly understand the intuitive connection and power of the gathered assembly to sing together. Now, our ethnomusicologist could tell us, and our other musicians I know could tell us, that when we sing together, what happens? Well, I didn't set this up ahead of time, so I'm not going to wait for you to try and figure out what the answer I'm looking for. But tell me if I'm wrong. When people sing together, it does something emotionally and socially to them, right? It's powerful. Any of us that are in choirs or have sung together, if you've gone singing Christmas carols off key, you know this. Doesn't matter how good the music sounds, there is a sense of connection that is created between us. And hopefully that happens for us every week. That's why this is one of the few places, other than a karaoke bar, where people can sing together. It's important. We can't be human without connecting to one another. The community aspect of our faith is absolutely essential. Jesus created a connection on a large scale. We heard about how the crowds gathered and the thrill that some of them experienced, that we might now call collective effervescence, when people have a heightened experience together. On the next slide, you'll see a few examples. You've already seen the picture of General Council 45. The one on the right was just taken a couple of days ago in Knox United Church in Calgary, where as many as they could fit of all of General Council came and worshiped together in a church to make a historic apology to 2S LGBTQIA plus people. Susan reports it was a powerful experience to be part of that service. Of course, we've now just had the third, this one's from a couple of years ago, the picture, because it was the best one I could find, but we just had another Pride Walk where we gathered with folks from throughout our community, and that's the Vancouver Women's March that happened last year. They had so many. Those are just a few examples of collective effervescence. It can be focused on joyful, things. It can be focused on sad things. It can be focused on many different ways of being together. Think for yourself, what are the most powerful experiences that you've had of being part of a collective gathering? For some of us, it might even be right here. It might have been at a memorial service. In my recent memory, that's probably true for me. The service we had last year for my dear friend Brenda Fox, who died very suddenly. It was a powerful and healing experience for us to gather together and give thanks for her life and mourn her loss together. We know from research now, it's not just in the ancient scriptures, we've got the science to back it up, that there is a bond created in shared experience, and it's a lasting experience. It lasts for a good long while. Jesus gave people a feeling of being part of something bigger even after they went back home again. This is why we gather in Jesus' name as well. Our lives are made richer as the body of Christ, as we sing together, as we play instruments, as we pray and reflect together. We remember that we are not alone. What a divine gift in a world that too often seeks to separate us and divide us. As we heard earlier, the social researcher Brené Brown says so clearly, experiences of collective effervescence contribute to a life filled with less loneliness, greater meaning, positive emotion, and social connection. Collective assembly meets the primal human yearnings for shared social experiences. A collective assembly can start to heal the wounds of a traumatized community. When we come together to share authentic joy and hope and pain, we melt the pervasive cynicism that so often cloaks our better human nature. This is where the Christian faith, and indeed the community of faith, has a powerful opportunity, and I would say responsibility, in our divided, polarized, fearful world. We have an opportunity to step into the divisions and the polarizations around us and offer an alternative that speaks to this profound moment of dysfunction that we find ourselves in today. Because at the heart of our faith is being one in Christ Jesus, washed in the waters of baptism, gathering around the Word of God, sharing at the table of our Lord, and sent out to serve the world in Jesus' name. We experience the power of connection here on Sunday morning in what we hope is a rich sensory experience. We lift our voices in song, we pray and reflect together, and we serve each other, and we serve our community together. And we remind each other that we are not alone. We are beloved. We are forgiven. We are enough. We are precious. We forget that stuff. Even though you've all heard it before over and over again, we forget it. We need to remind each other by gathering together. This community aspect of our faith is essential spiritually, psychologically, even physically. people of God, we are at a moment in history when the church has a gift that our country, our community, our world needs. Not a dogma that divides, but a witness that welcomes. A community that really meets in a deep way the craving for connection for all human beings to have. A place where we connect, perhaps first with each other, and of course with God. Because connecting with each other is connecting with God. For we are made for connection, all of us. And the church is made to build and strengthen the connections between all creatures, all creation and their creator. For indeed we are one. As Rumi said, do not feel lonely. The entire universe is inside you. Stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion. Set your life on fire, metaphorically. Seek those who fan your flames. Amen.